Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
We're in the season of Advent. So I want to pray, Lord, now just that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts collectively will be acceptable in your sight, in Jesus' name. So Advent, what is Advent? Advent's kind of a quaint, old, ancient church tradition. The church has followed this for 2,000 years. We're running a series called Roots, and the theme of Roots is really what Advent is all about, and how the family story of Jesus as a human ties into all of our own stories. Today we're going to look particularly at the family story of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are the called out ones. We are called out to be a sign of Jesus to humanity and a sign of humanity to God. We stand in a liminal space representing God to earth and earth to God. That's who we as the church are. The text is Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 3, that Charisse read for us earlier. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. It was the composer Handel who said, "Forgive me, Lord, if I only entertained them. I meant to make them better." I sometimes say things like, "I don't have followers. I have people who, by God's incredible grace, have been entrusted to my spiritual care." That's a little different, and I take that very seriously. But what we do here when we're teaching, when we're preaching, when we're running courses, when we're running workshops, whatever we do together, what we're doing today together in community, what we're doing in this Advent season is always with a view to becoming better people and better followers of Jesus. It's always with the view of transformation. It's never with a view to communicating knowledge for the sake of knowledge. It's always with a view to transformation. The aim is never knowledge purely for the sake of it. It's always with a view to transformation, as we are all becoming what we one day fully will be. And Advent is the season that actually marks the beginning of the Christian year in what is called the awakening or the Christian calendar. You could call Advent the Christian New Year. It's the beginning of the new year for Christians. So I could have started today's service by saying Happy New Year, but you would all have been confused. But in the Christian calendar, this is actually the beginning of our year. We celebrate at this time of the year Jesus' first coming, his incarnation, and we look forward to his return. We have, in a very real sense, redeemed a pagan holiday for our own celebration of the birth of Jesus. That's what we've done. We are a redemptive people, so the pagans celebrated certain things on the 25th, and we said, let's celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's perfectly valid. That has been redeemed for us. It's a time of opening ourselves once again to the living Christ in us in anticipated ways. It's not that Jesus only came at his birth and then only comes again at his second coming. Jesus comes into our lives and into this world minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, into our hearts, into my heart, into my heart, into my heart, Lord Jesus, into my heart to stay. How does that kids, you remember the kids thing? Into my heart, into my heart, into my heart, Lord Jesus, into my heart to stay. Is that what it is? Yeah. Like a simple kid's verse. That's the reality. Jesus came, Jesus comes, and Jesus will come again. And all of us need to open ourselves to that in unanticipated ways. So when we come to Advent, We come with a great anticipation of the fullness of the kingdom of God. We lean forward into what we know will be one day. We pray for more of that in the here and the now because we know we haven't fully arrived. We lean forward into what it will be as it will be one day when God is all in all, and we pray for more of that in the here and now because we haven't fully arrived. Now, I remember when we were raising a family and we had small kids, and all of you will relate to this. Whenever we used to go away on holiday, we followed our middle daughter, Simone, around the gymnastic circuit in South Africa. So we went to various cities and towns in South Africa, as far as Pretoria from Cape Town, which is kind of 2,000 Ks, Port Elizabeth, then where the OM ship will be going, which is about 800 kilometers, and then a place we went to regularly called Oudtshoorn, which is about 450 kilometers from Cape Town, but we went there twice a year. And whenever we left by car, our youngest Emma, and all of you who have families will relate to this, used to say once we'd got about 80 kilometers out of Cape Town, are we there yet, right? Everybody knows that. Everyone who's got kids knows you've got 600 Ks on the road to go, and the youngest is going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? So now Anita and I have this kind of corny joke that any time we board a flight or get in a car to drive somewhere far, we start off by going, are we there yet? Now, that's the way that I feel during Advent. As we move progressively towards Bethlehem, I ask myself the question, God, are we there yet? In fact, I ask myself that question regularly outside of Advent too, particularly as it relates to church. God, are we there yet? Are we in that place yet? I feel it particularly acutely at this time of the year. Are we there yet, God? Are we any closer to the fulfillment of the kingdom that Jesus described? Are we closer to the time that the psalmist spoke of when love and faithfulness will meet, when righteousness and peace will kiss? Do we resemble the one Isaiah speaks of as being full of the spirit of understanding and wisdom and counsel and might? Are we anywhere near that place yet, Jesus? Are we nearer the place where the valleys are exalted and the mountains are made low and the rough places and the crooked straight and the glory of the Lord is revealed in its fullness? Are we anywhere near that, Lord? Are we there yet, Lord? Are we within earshot of the promise of peace on earth and goodwill to all people? Do we have a glimpse of that part of the kingdom that is still to come? Are we anywhere near that yet, Father? And as you look around you in the world, we're not. I want to ask that at this time, right now, we just take a minute out. Just get silent. In the recognition that the only thing you and I can do around something like the Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Palestine is pray for peace. That is all that there is for us to do. Not to get militant, not to side one side over the other because there's loss of life everywhere. Just to pray. And to center ourselves in the one and pray that that peace, that coming of Jesus, would come into our hearts. Come into our hearts. Can we get silent just for a minute or two? Lord, we forego the right of opinion. And we pray that you take up your rightful place in the conflicts in our community, our homes maybe even, our city, our nation, the world, all the hot spots. And we pray, Lord Jesus, would you come? We pray that we would see that we are nearer that place where the crooked is made straight and the glory of the Lord is revealed, where there is peace on earth and goodwill to all people. And we pray that we, as your people in this season, would reflect that to a lost and broken and watching, waiting world. That those who speak to us, those who speak of us, would recognize, even when they don't know you, Jesus in us, Jesus in us, Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So we're on a journey together through Advent, and we're going to be exploring the family story of Jesus. And we're exploring what has been called the Jesse tree, the tribe of Judah. That was Jesus' clan. And that's an historic way of reflecting on Advent and Christmas by recalling the people, the places, and the story that are a part of Jesus' own deep human family legacy. And then we're considering our own stories in all of that, and you'll see that there is significant overlap because we all have stories. We all come from somewhere, and we will see that our stories overlap with the story of Jesus. Now, in a church like ours where so many people are diaspora from their own countries, from their own regions, from their own ethnicities, their own tribes, their own tongues, it's important to find our oneness in Jesus and his kingdom, but then also to recognize that these sometimes alienating and dislocating experiences are actually here amongst us, particularly around Christmas time. These are not foreign experiences to Jesus. He also was an exile, a stranger in a foreign land. I mean, amongst us here, we have people with family ties to Africa, Asia, Australasia, Europe, the United States, well, just Ontario or Alberta or the Maritimes, right? Because when you guys invented this country, you made it ridiculously big. Whoever invented it needed to rethink that lot. So all of us, to some extent, are exiled from family members somewhere. Advent, the family story of the church, because there are deep roots to the gospel itself that are celebrated in this season. The Christmas story is one in which the protagonist of the human story, God the Creator of the universe, steps into the ordinary lives of people on earth with a message. And the message is this: that light shines in the darkness. That is the message of Advent. Light shines in the darkness, John chapter 1, verse 5. And that the light that illuminates every heart has come to us in the person and the incarnation of Jesus. Jesus becomes the logos of the philosophers and of the Gnostics. And John uses that language because people would have understood that language. The long-awaited Messiah for the Jews had waited for him for centuries, steps down into our temporal space and becomes God amongst us, God with us, God incarnate, God Emmanuel with us, the one in whom there is only light and life, and we lean in the season towards that light. And that light that John chapter 1 verse 5 speaks of is translated either as the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it on the one hand, or it's translated as the darkness has not understood it. I don't know whether you've noticed that, but those two translations are there. Which one is it? Both and. They're both right. The darkness has not understood it, but also the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus is our lamp. His Sermon on the Mount is our true north. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. There is no place for militancy in the church. Blessed are the meek. Now, to the world, that is foolishness. The darkness has not understood it. But then too, no matter how much darkness there might be in the world, the light of Jesus cannot be drowned out by all of the darkness that surrounds. It's like sitting in a massive cave, a football-sized cave that is plunged into deep darkness, and you strike one match, and all of the darkness in that cave cannot drown out the light of that one match. That is the nature of who we are in the world. It doesn't matter how dark you suspect or think the world is. The world's darkness cannot drown out the light of Jesus. That is the light that truly shines in the midst of darkness. Now, it's interesting. John uses that language, darkness and light, because it was known by the Gnostics and the philosophers of the time, and so they would have understood what he's talking about. But over the 2,000 and something years that elapsed since his writing and our own time, light and darkness has become common usage for everyone. You can ask an agnostic or an atheist to explain the difference between spiritual darkness and light to you, and they will be able to do it, at least in terms of evil and good, if not in the terms of Jesus. It's become a common part of our speech. So there are other things that have become a common part of our speech. Holidays. The origin of holidays is holy days. Holy days, that's what they were. That's where the term originates. It was because holidays, holy days, were very important to the Jews. They still are. Now, holidays to us matter for families because there's a gathering usually around important events or themes that bring us together. For the family of the church, Advent and Christian holidays matter because we're gathering around the events of Christ's life within us and amongst us. And we order our time according to them, recalling to mind over and over and over again, year after year, repeated again and again and again, the meeting of the Lord of life in our traditions, in our themes, and in our rhythms. We call this the Christian year or the awakening calendar. There was a guy named Robert Weber. He's passed away, I think. I read a book of his, Ancient Future, once. It was very, very good. And he spoke of two cycles in the Christian year. The first is the cycle of light, which includes Advent, which is anticipation, then Christmas, which is celebration, and then Epiphany, which is proclamation. So the three things of importance there are anticipation, celebration, and proclamation. And there's a rhythm to those things. That's followed by the cycle of life, which includes Lent, anticipation, Easter, celebration, and Pentecost, proclamation. So those are the rhythms throughout the year. Anticipation, celebration, and then proclamation. This year, as we enter the season of light and the Christian year, we turn our hearts as a family towards Advent being our season of anticipation. There is anticipation at this time of the year. We're waiting on the Lord for Him to reveal Himself to us in new and profound and ordinary and mundane ways. And we are then also awaiting the celebration of His birth, and we are also awaiting His physical return. And we explore this together, the family story of Jesus, and we come with an expectation that God will meet us in our longing once again and that He will reveal His Emmanuel presence to us. Come to this season expectant along with the family of God. So let's look at the family story of Jesus. I said we all come from someone, somewhere, and something. Or to put it another way, we all come from a people, a place, and we all have a story. In the case of Jesus, He comes to us from someone, His people, Israel. And I speak here of the Israel of faith, and I differentiate them from the nation state of Israel, because they have nothing to do with one another. Jesus comes to us from the Israel of faith. Then He comes to us from somewhere, the place, the land, the terrain, the towns of first century Palestine. He also comes to us from something, the covenant story of His own people's dramatic and tempestuous relationship with God. That's the story of the Old Testament, a dramatic and tempestuous relationship with God that Israel had, and without that story, the New Testament makes no sense whatsoever. Unless you have an understanding of the Old Testament, the New Testament doesn't make sense. Yahweh, the great I Am. God has always had a people for his name. Like Jesus, each one of us comes from a people. Our ethnicity, our extended family line, a place in a country, a region, a province, a hometown, a homeland. We each have a story, the story of our own family and the story of God's covenant purposes in our family line for generations. For some of you, that's going to be hard to receive. Because some of you might be like Anita and me. We are first-generation believers. We don't come from a line where I can point to great auntie so-and-so who prayed me into the kingdom. I still don't quite know how we landed here. We don't come from that. We are pioneering the way for our own family because neither of us comes from a long line of believers. But here's the thing. In the kingdom, everything is used and redeemed. Nothing is wasted and lost. If you're sitting here thinking, my family is a family I'm not proud of, what I come out of my lineage, there is always something of God in that story. Because everything is used and redeemed. Nothing is wasted or lost. So it doesn't matter when you come or where you come from. What matters is that you come. That's what matters. In other words, Jesus has a people, a place, and a story through which he comes to us as Emmanuel, God with us, in Advent. And we too have a story, and it ties into his story. Even in the very darkest periods of history, God has always had a people for his name. You know, you sometimes find in new movements, yeah, we the guys, we found it. We finally discovered it. The fullness of the kingdom of God. And nobody before us has seen this. That's usually a signal that you need to move away from that kind of place, right? God has always had a people for his name. And this Advent season, we want to look at these themes as we look for transforming truths in our own lives and our families' lives because of Jesus. So in this Advent season, you might want to ask God to redeem your family story. You might want to stop the internal battles that rage in your extended family line. I don't know. The people, the places, and the stories from which you come, the relationships you're still in, whether they are good or bad or ugly, there is always redemption. If we look hard enough, we will find something of God there. What might the Father be saying to us during Advent to show us about our own hearts and the gift that he's placed along the way to bring continued redemption and restoration to us and our family lines? Even as he sends us into the world, drawing from our own roots and also from the roots of belonging to the church, the family of Jesus. Let's have a look at Jesus' roots. Isaiah the prophet, seeing deep into the future of God's history-moving narrative, tells us that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, that is the tribe of David. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. In fact, from that person, that flesh and blood, that descendant of Jesse, the father of King David, will come about one whom Isaiah will say this of, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. In the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, the disciples begin with a short genesis of where Jesus comes from, a beginning birth story of Jesus. The Bible wants to convey that God has entered our world through a very human time frame and family. Very, very human. coming to us as Jesus from Yeshua, or what we would now say Joshua. That's where he comes from. The Lord saves, and Emmanuel, God is with us. The one who saves is with us. And as we begin to see God at work in the wild and amazing family story of Jesus, we might begin to see him at work powerfully and faithfully in our own stories. That would be a profound gift and miracle for some of us here. Advent. I don't want to go there in any detail now, but it's worth mentioning at this point that we know that Jesus spent at least the first 5 years of his life in exile in Egypt. He knew what exile was like. And that was, of course, due to Herod's radical insecurities and fears that drove him to the heinous genocide to kill all males under the 2 years of age that were born in case this newborn king of the Jews would usurp his human crown. Some of us came into this country, Canada, as refugees or as exiles, strangers in a strange land. Others came like workers. Anita and I are classed as workers. Please pray for us. We need our work permits renewed, and it's a real challenge right now. That's how we came. Others came into the Northwest Territories for work opportunities from other places in Canada. I mean, I think it's fair to say that the Northwest Territories might be a place where almost all people are exiled from someone or from something. Outside of the rarest of families amongst us who are true Northerners, Drew, outside of the rarest of families amongst us who are true Northerners, most of us are exiled from something, someone, or somewhere, with families, members, and families far away from us over Christmas time. Well, we're not alone in our experience. Jesus was exiled both from Israel and then also from heaven. He left his deity, says Philippians, to take up a fully human incarnation. He was exiled at two levels. He understands those of us who are missing family right now. He understands that. And when God helps us notice how he is at work within our own and our family's lives, we learn to turn our eyes from seeing only the brokenness in our extended families to seeing the fullness of God's miraculous work to bring us and others and redeem those things in our family line. If you are the only believer in your extended family, you have been sovereignly placed there to be the light of Jesus to that family. That, by the way, does not include judgment. It's light, not judgment. It's acceptance. It's reflecting Jesus to them. So consider your own family line as we're looking at Jesus' family line, as far back as you have records on it. And try and find someone somewhere who tried to walk faithfully, but also find those who have stumbled and fallen, or those who have no faith whatsoever. And because of the authority you've been given, you can redeem your family line for the sake of Jesus. Where can you see the gift of God leading you to today? Potentially those gifts that came to you through your family or through their suffering or through their struggles or their faithfulness. Consider things like your natural gifts, your appearance, your ways of thinking, your location. Can you name a few things in your mind that came to you from your family? I'm asking for positive things, yeah? All right? That came to you from your own family line. Can you consider how God is using you because of the family line you come from, rather than just simply despite of the family line that you may come from? I say things in jest like, I come from a long line of thieves, murderers, and adulterers. Now, a part of that's very true, but I have stumbled upon people of faith in my family line that I was aware of, or rather unaware of. Maybe decades ago. Find what can be redeemed. Families tend to come together around special events this time of the year. Advent is a gathering time for the family of God around the person and the events of Jesus and his incarnation. I'm just finishing a Gabor Mate book. I don't know whether any of you have been exposed to him. I'm not sure whether he's a believer or if he is, what kind of a believer he is, but boy, he's good. And he illustrates in no uncertain terms the mixed experience of every single family. It does not matter how functional you think your background is, there will be things that you need to work through and bring before Jesus. That is the reality of our families. Do not curse that. Bless it. Bless your family line and draw from it what you can draw from it. And ask Jesus to redeem those things that you feel you can't draw from. You see, our family failures and blessings are a part of our own life story. And if we belong to Jesus, think about that, then wherever we are standing right now is exactly where he needs us right now. If we belong to Jesus, wherever you are right now is where he needs you right now and where he wants you right now. We want to posture ourselves here for a season of renewed joy in the story of Jesus, renewed hope in God's work in and through us and our family and our family lines moving ahead. So I want to move into a time of prayer, and as you're sitting there, ask that you would pray quietly to redeem what is broken in your family lines. To say, Lord, I recognize this thing has always been there. Could we redeem that in your name? To bless everything that is good that has been given to you as an inheritance, and to hope for better. Let's get quiet together and do that. And then I'll pray a collective prayer for us after that. Lord Jesus, we open our hearts anew. We come before you, recognizing that we all come with giftedness, with good things, and with areas of brokenness in our own lives. We recognize that none of us come from a family line that has it 100% together. We want to redeem in our own families and lives everything that is broken, everything that we could have done better. No guilt. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Grace upon grace upon grace. Some of us, Lord, wrestle with how we raised our kids, and we struggle with guilt over the fact that we could have done this thing or that thing better. In the name of Jesus, would you redeem that for us? Would you heal that in our own hearts and lives? And where relationships are stretched or broken or even shattered, would you use this Advent season to reconnect people to lost family members, to lost love? Above all, Lord, as we lean into your light, our prayer is that we would posture ourselves as those who come in the name of Jesus as peacemakers, the sons and daughters of God, as the meek, as the poor in spirit, as the humble. And that the watching, waiting world would look again at the church us as representatives of the church and recognize Jesus in us. I want to ask you that, amen, I want to ask you that before we leave, I'm going to say goodbye to the online congregation. Being good having you with us, I've been completely unaware of you. I'm terribly sorry that I ignore you. Please let us know who you are and how we can be in touch with you. I want to ask you before you leave, maybe to find someone, maybe a wife or a husband or a close friend, and for them to pray over you, to redeem, somebody that you know, somebody that knows your family story, right? You don't have to go and spill your guts to somebody you don't know. Somebody that knows your family story, just to redeem whatever is broken there. Receive that prayer and give that prayer to one another. So I want to ask that you would open yourself to that. If you want to do that, just tap someone and say, hey, would you pray for me over this thing that has been something, a burden that I've carried for some time over my family, over our family's lives? It would be worth saying to you that in what I consider our family as a very functional family, there have been things that we've had to work through with our kids, things we could have done better. We're in a good space. I have a wonderful family. We love one another. Everybody wants to hang out together. But we've had things we needed to work through. So work through those things with somebody that you trust, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.